Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews, your innovative pizza party attending Nerdtastic podcast. We're your hosts. I am Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian. And together, we are Rocket and Groot.
So what?
I'm Groot.
Yeah, you said that.
Well,
that's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
I'm Groot. I am Groot.
Well, that escalated quickly.
I'm Groot.
No,
I am Groot.
How?
No. We are hashtag the Nerdy Boys, your weekly nerdcast. We give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened this week in television, movies, comics, and news. We discuss what it all means and why you should be excited about it.
Yeah, so let's do that.
Let's go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
So I hope everybody's week has been swell.
Swell.
How was your week, Christian?
It was swell.
That's awesome. That's swell. You know, we're just out here in California enjoying a nice breezy summer day, even though it's not summer yet. You know, drinking our Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
Being nerdy.
Yeah.
And awesome.
And things like that.
So, we got some news to tell you guys about this week. Do we have news?
My Dutch Bros is all melty.
Oh, that's not good. Mine is too. Yeah. That sucks. So, we have a whole bunch of news, so let's just get into it. This week, there was a new Joker picture.
Yes, there was. He had a lot of tattoos, and he looked crazy.
He did look crazy. So, there's a bunch of different reactions on the Twitter spheres and the Instagrams, the whole social media type stuff. Mixed reviews, kind of, that I've noticed. You know, a lot of people liked it. A bunch of people didn't like it. At first, I was one of those people that didn't like it. But now that I kind of took a couple days to actually look at it, and then, you know, there's certain things I don't like about it, but overall, I actually like the new look. What do you think?
I just didn't like his head tattoo, but I didn't really have an opinion when I first saw it. But overall, it's not a bad look, and I think he'll be fine. I mean, the picture doesn't mean as much as the acting.
Yeah, that's true, 'cause anybody could look the part, but... You know, it just takes a special kind of actor to actually play the part. But there's only like two tattoos that I actually had a problem with, because he had the little ha 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 on like his arm and his chest. I like the one on his chest, but I feel like it was kind of overkill that they put it on his arm as well. And then like the smiling mouth on his forearm, I didn't really like those. But like the Jester tattoo, the J on his cheek, I can't really tell what was on his neck. And then he has like a damaged one on his forehead. Like, I liked all of those, to be honest with you. Like,
I don't think he needs that damaged tattoo. We all know that he's got issues. Yeah. One of those issues is that he's in a movie he doesn't belong in.
Yeah, I wonder if they put the J on him just so Harley Quinn could be like, "Hi, Mr. J."
Oh, he has a J on his face. How obvious.
Yeah. I bet that's probably, like, a reason that they did that. So, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Let us know what you guys think of the new look. I thought it was pretty sweet. But anyways, on to more Joker news. So season 2 of Gotham, the writers say that it's going to be Joker origin orientated, like in the beginning of the season.
Yes.
I don't know if the whole season, but...
Going to kick off season 2 with such Joker stuff.
I don't know how I really feel about that. Like, a part of me, like, excited because Joker is obviously an iconic villain in the Batman universe. But the thing is giving him an origin story is just, like, really weird, because that's what kind of gives Joker his, like, you know, that's what makes him the Joker, because nobody knows where he's from. Nobody knows why he does the things that he does.
Yeah, the Joker just, I mean, in a broad sense, he's not, like, anything special, but he's just crazy, and that's what makes him, you know, dangerous. But as far as how he got crazy, you know, that's just something that is left to your imagination.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of addressed it in like Killing Joke, but it was like an unconfirmed backstory kind of deal.
Yeah, he doesn't even have, like, a real name, like, a real known name.
Yeah, he actually had, like, his name is just the Joker. Like, he doesn't have, like...
He has, like, aliases, but he doesn't have, like, an actual confirmed real name.
Yeah, see, that like that's my problem with, like, an origin story. Maybe they'll kind of do something similar to Killing Joke, which I can appreciate that for sure.
Right.
But then again, it's like Killing Joke, his origin story took place when Batman is around, so I don't know how that would I don't know how they would pull that off exactly. So in a marketing campaign for Ant-Man, they posted like little miniature Ant-Man billboards mm-hmm. all across LA.
They did. They did do that. Yeah. That's their marketing campaign. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
It's effective. Like, I mean, if people notice them, they're going to actually, like, bend down to look. And they're just going to laugh it.
At the craziness.
They're like, really?
They're like, wow, a tiny sign. Wow, you really got us.
You know, this speaks volume.
Ants will be like, oh my god.
Like, oh my god, my family.
So big.
Ants are going to be like, my family's in there.
But so, they have to be British.
They have to be British?
Ants have to be British because they really? Colonize.
God damn it, Christian. Well played, sir.
They'll be like, Nigel, over there, look it. A giant shine.
That's freaking hilarious. So the master himself, Josh Whedon, came out and said some pretty bold statements, I must say myself.
Yes,
so if you guys didn't know, the writer on Ant-Man is not the first writer that they had. They actually had
They had Edgar Wright and he left because of creative differences. But Joss Whedon said that Edgar Wright's script was the best he ever read. Best Marvel script.
Yeah, not just better than the current Ant-Man script, but the best Marvel has ever had. And that speaks volumes to me.
Yeah, especially when you had movies like Guardians and Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah, you know, you've had Thor and Iron Man movies and the Avengers and then, you know, the new Avengers coming out soon. That's crazy because, you know, Josh Whedon himself worked on those scripts and he's thought to be of like the best, you know?
Right.
So for him to actually say that was the best script ever, like,
well, I don't think he'd regard his scripts as the best. You know, I don't think he's like that cocky.
I would be. Well, maybe cause I'm just like a little egotistical, but that's just me. I just think I'm the greatest.
Yeah. I mean, Ant-Man's something that people hear and they're not very excited, you know, but when you have someone like Edgar Wright behind it, you know, it makes it exciting, but then Edgar Wright leaves because of creative differences and now they're going to change the script up and they're going to do what they want, and it doesn't mean it's going to be bad by any means, but I mean, it'll make you wish you could see what they had before.
Yeah, exactly, because what if like the circumstance has that we go watch this movie and we're disappointed, it's just a shit movie, which I don't think by any means is going to happen, but it's still a possibility. It's going to make the viewers, the fans, and everybody wonder, well, what did they have before that was so great? Like, why the fuck did they get rid of this guy?
Or, I mean, the opposite. If the movie is amazing, how much better could it have been, you know?
Exactly. So, making statements like that is just always, you know, newsworthy. Josh Whedon also said that he is very excited for Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, he said it makes complete sense to him that Batman and Superman would fight, which I mean, is easy to get because Joss Whedon made everybody in the Avengers fight.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I agree with them. It does make perfect sense, but apparently to some people it doesn't. On to other news, though. Daredevil second season confirmation was revealed on Twitter. Like, I think, like, a week after, like, the first season had aired.
Yeah, like, there's such an overwhelmingly positive reaction to the show. And it really just is really good. And the second season is going to have new showrunners.
Yeah.
But it's the same people. They worked on it, but they weren't running it before.
Yeah. Wonder why that they're changing it up. I'm curious to know why. I think
the guy who led it doesn't want to do it again.
He just doesn't want to do it again? Or, like, he has another project. Yeah. you know, you kind of figure that. I just, like, you know, you kind of wonder about, like, a second season because you figure it's going to come after all the rest of the Defenders are released, apparently. I mean, that's what I would assume.
Well, it's coming out next year.
Yeah, and all of them are going to be released this year, right?
No.
Or which ones are being released this year?
I think Jessica Jones is, like, November this year, and then next year is Iron Fist and Luke Cage, maybe.
So, do you think the second season of Daredevil would become before or after?
Probably in the middle of, like, the last two.
And?
Or, I don't know.
Do you think there will be any signs of the other Defenders in the second season?
Definitely.
Okay.
I mean, I with Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, if those are both before him, like, I definitely think you'll see, like, cameos. I'm like, you're already going to get Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. Like, we've seen him in pictures and stuff, and he looks really good, so.
Oh, yeah, those pictures were awesome. So, like, what's, like, so great is that they're not just doing, like, one-shot seasons with this, which, like, they could have easily just, like, to do quick
origin stories. Which I kind of assumed they were going to just do the four and then do Defenders and then move on from there. But the fact that you already have a second season lined up, you know, like, it makes total sense, but it's not something I really thought they were going
to
do.
Yeah, I mean, not, like, to say that it was, like, out of the blue, like, unexpected, but it kind of was unexpected. Like, you just figure that this is their origin setup, they're gonna just move on from here, you know. Mm-hmm. They go on to, like, the big screen possibly,
right?
So in other news, there was a reveal for the Trinity costumes.
Yeah. You can see on our Facebook page we posted a funny picture of Superman's before and after suit.
Oh yeah.
So, like, they showed, like, close-up pictures of, like, Wonder Woman suit, Batman suit, and Superman suit. And they're, like, much brighter colors and stuff. Like I've been saying, like, it's just Zack Snyder's cinematography that makes everything dark. It's like that in all his movies. Like, the costumes are going to be much brighter, but when it comes up on screen, it's going to be darker.
Yeah, one of the additions I really enjoyed was was Batman's costume. There was like, a big gray part, like, right around, like, his, I think it was, like, his abdomen area was, like, a lot of grays. Like, how you see kind of, like, the older school. It's not all black. It's not all dark, you know, how, right, the, you know, how Christian Bale's suit, Batman was.
Yeah, like, his suit was, like, completely black, you know, like,
yeah.
This one is, like, the, like, it's a new bat symbol, too, you know, of course, but,
yeah,
I mean, that's what they're doing. That's their thing. They're recreating kind of in their vision, you know? Yeah. But, yeah, so, like, the gray in the suit is something that's really exciting to see. Like, it's more original Batman. Like, it's what you see in the comic books, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that's something that's really cool and that, I mean, it's better. It's just better.
And something I also kind of noticed, that the centerpiece on his utility belt was, like, a hint of yellow. I would have loved to see it more yellow, how it was old school, but I'm fine with the way it looks, for sure.
Yeah, like, it, like, to me, his utility belt is, like, really big.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it's like some khaki shorts up in there.
Oh, jeez.
So.
I mean, I didn't really pay attention too much to the Superman or the Wonder Woman costume, but the Batman suit definitely stood out to me.
Yeah, definitely. Looked good.
Yeah, so, definitely. Thumbs up, good job to them for improving their suits. And then we got news that CM Punk from WWE is getting his first ongoing series as a writer of Marvel's Drax the Destroyer.
Yeah, I think they're just going to call it Drax, and he's writing it. So we'll see how he does. He did the Thor annual, which I have, but I haven't read. But, I mean, I don't think it'll be bad. I mean,
yeah, I mean, by no means do I feel that Marvel would even risk putting somebody that's just, like, not a very good writer. And from as far as I know, CM Punk doesn't have, like, writing experience as far as comic books go.
Well, yeah, besides what he's already done.
Yeah.
But he is a comic book fan.
I mean, just because you're a comic book fan doesn't mean that you have the necessary tools to write a comic book.
That's true, too, but, I mean, I'd have to read it to see. Like, I know he worked with other people on Thor Annual, so even, like, that's not, like, a perfect gauge of his writing. But we'll have to see how it is. Like, Drax is a good character, you know, like, to start with. And if he can make Drax interesting enough for people to want to read, then I think it'll be good.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think it's interesting because you think about how many different writers are out there trying to make it as comic book writers or even artists as well. And just to see somebody that's already famous just get an opportunity like this, like, it's interesting to see, in my opinion, because it's like, then it comes up with, like, the questions, like, well, like, if he doesn't do a good job, like, why did he even get the chance, you know?
I'm sure that Marvel's already seen kind of what he can do and his ideas. Yeah. And I'm sure they'll have people working with him to help him through if he can't, you know, put his ideas into words.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just judge him off of, you know, the work he does. I really do hope it's a good series.
Is that a series that you'll pick up?
Yeah, it is, actually. So,
like, I mean, do you think they're going to do Gamora and Groot as well? Like, they, well, probably won't do Groot, but they've done Legendary Star-Lord and Rocket.
Yeah.
They just came out at the same time. Now they're doing Drax.
And they've also done, like, Rocket and Groot, I think, right?
Older. But Groot is in Rocket Raccoon yeah. right now, so.
They pretty much just go hand in hand.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do. And if they do have those series, like, who's going to write them? If CM Punk does do a good job, like, are they just going to have him write them as well?
I don't think so. They'll have someone else write it. Like,
you think so?
The same people aren't doing Star-Lord and Rocket right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah. Well, that's something everybody should definitely be on the lookout for. And then when that does come out, let us know what you guys think of his writing for sure.
Right.
So, Avengers Age of Ultron is coming out this Thursday.
Yes. 7 o'clock
fucking
showing.
Finally, guys.
Yeah, it's so exciting.
We've been waiting for this movie since the first one came out. Like, we're like, when's the next one coming out?
Yeah, it's. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah, so it's going to be Thursday night.
I can't wait to see the Vision. So excited for that.
That was actually very startling.
I've been penting this up for a while.
It's all right. On other Avengers news, so as most people know, Age of Ultron was released overseas before.
A week early.
Yeah. So in its first 2 days, it made like $45 million, which is really just awesome.
Which is good in a continent like Europe that isn't doing too well on the global economy.
Yeah, and then, so that was just in the first 2 days that it made $45 million. And then so far, overall, it's made $201 million.
Yeah.
That is very impressive.
That's a whole lot, fella.
That's just overseas, you know? So, but, yeah.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
This movie's going to be probably the highest grossing movie ever made.
You think so?
I think so. And then Star Wars might be up there next.
I was just about to ask that.
I'm more hyped about Age of Ultron right now because it's so close. Like, it's so unbelievable to like think about, like, hey, I'm gonna be sitting in a theater watching this week. That's how absurd it is.
Yeah, it's I can't fucking wait, dude. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for that.
So do you think, so I'm not sure what, because I didn't read the whole article, I don't know if it was $201 million over the entire week or over that just that weekend. Do you think we can break that number in the U.S. over just the first weekend?
I think we'll break $100 million the first 2 days.
Yeah.
So.
Very, very nice. So, also, more Marvel news. Marvel is set to release a new video game in 2017.
Yes. I think that's like the they're working details. With Telltale Games. So, that should be exciting.
I'm not sure anything about Telltale Games, but I wonder what kind of video game it's going to be. Is it going
to
be like,
I know they're talking about, like, they wanted to. It has to be something interesting and engaging. Like, they cited the Spider-Man Unlimited, like, the free run game on, like, the phone. And, like, the Champions game, like, the fighting one on the phone. But this is going to be, like, an actual console game, so it's going to be different. So I don't know why they're citing phone games. But.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. I mean, until I find out more information, I'm not really excited about it too much.
I mean,
right
it's
now.
So far off, you know.
And plus, like, honestly, what was the game that came out? Like that had like the whole Marvel team and
Ultimate
stuff.
Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, I didn't even like that game too much.
I loved that game.
That game, I didn't really like it at all.
The game was fun to me.
Great. Agree to disagree, I suppose, on that.
I mean, then again, I don't play very many games, and you play a lot of games.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. Felt just like repetitive and boring to me. But hey, you never know because video games are ever evolving. they could do something totally different that they haven't done before.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic Four, ongoing yeah. series is set to end pretty soon.
The I longest think it's over.
Oh, is it? Was it yeah, over this week?
645 is the last issue. I think it came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and that was the longest running Silver Age comic.
Yeah, and
to this date,
now it's done. So, I mean, it's no. sad, but they're building up for Secret Wars with it, with Sleepwalker and stuff. So,
Do you think it was more of just like a ploy to like fuck with Fox?
I mean, they can easily play it off as it's not because of, you know, Secret Wars is making a lot of series come to an end. But I mean, when you have something that's running that long, it's hard to not connect it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what the people want to know. Is it just like a mark, like a ploy just to try and gain ownership of that franchise?
I don't think they're going to gain ownership of it anytime soon, but yeah. I mean, I think they're trying really hard.
Hey, so. I mean, kudos if it happens, good job.
Yeah, we're rooting for you.
We are rooting for you, MCU. So this brings us to the last piece of news. This week, the issue of All New X-Men was actually pirated by some people just on the internet, and it was revealed that Bobby Drake, aka Iceman, came out.
Yes, not he didn't reveal his identity. People already knew who he was from, sure, but yeah, he came out as a homosexual individual.
Yeah,
which is. I mean, I don't think it's that big of a step for comic books. Like, I know they're trying to do little things here and there to make it more broad-based. Like, the Captain America is black right now, and Thor is a woman right now, and now they have Bobby Drake who's coming out as gay, and, you know? But to me, like I don't know, it's not that big of a deal, you know? It doesn't...
I mean, to people like us that, you know, are very open-minded based off, like, where we live, because I feel like California is very... diverse state where, you know, it's not uncommon to come across
it's like all different kinds of lifestyles matter where you're at.
Yeah, like all like sexual orientations and races and stuff. So, you know, those kind of things don't bother us, but maybe like people like across the United States and stuff that maybe aren't used to that sort of thing, I wonder how it really makes them feel.
I mean, but it's good because, you know, like Marvel's doing this, and they're taking risks in ways. Like, people are opposed to female Thor, and people are opposed to Black Captain America, and things like that. But Marvel's taking the risks, and they're gonna recruit more people than they're gonna force away, I think, you know? And it's they're doing it, honestly, probably just to make money, because that's their job, ultimately. They're a business, they need to make money.
Yeah.
But it's about the stories, and where can you take Bobby Drake from here, and where's this story gonna go?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's just a marketing campaign, really, to bring in new readers. They're always pressing the envelope over at Marvel, but it's not the first time it's been done either, you know?
Right.
Because I think it was like Earth 1 Green Lantern and over on DC.
Earth 2 Green Lantern, Alan Scott.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Him and the Avatar of the White.
Yeah, they're both...
Yeah, and it's like no big deal. You know, the DC's doing it with their television, too, the Captain and the Flash. You know, like, it's just like a passing thing, but, you know, like, it's so important. It's so irrelevant what someone's sexual orientation is, but we make it such a big deal, you know?
Just a part of, like, the media's job.
And think about, like, moving forward, All New X-Men is one of the best series going on right now. I'm not reading it, but I know it has great reviews, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to affect the story, you know. Bobby Drake's been gay this entire time, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, it doesn't affect the story anyway. It doesn't make me think any less of him. It's a person.
I mean, I guess the consensus was like a lot of people figured he was, but it was never confirmed.
Right.
But now it was actually confirmed.
Well, he's hanging out with Angelica Jones all the time.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just different because, like, you can think somebody's all you want, but until you actually, like, find out, it's just
a different ballgame. That's why he's never able to pull the trigger with Rogue.
God damn it. Gosh dang it.
But, yeah, I mean, it's exciting that Marvel keeps doing new things, and you want to avoid stagnation when you're a comic book company, and they're doing a good job. Like, Falcon is a great Captain America right now. Like, I think he looks great, and the female Thor is actually pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, you just think about, like, what Marvel is doing overall. And it's nothing new to comic books. They've always taken, like, current issues and put it in this fantasy world where they can help people...
Understand
Like what's going on. Because you think about it, And it's like, you know, like the issue with like there wasn't enough African-American characters. There was no really like predominant women characters.
Well, I mean, yeah, think about.
And even like Miss Marvel, you know, is she like Middle Eastern?
Yeah, she's Pakistani, the new Miss Marvel. But yeah, think about old Marvel. Like the only two black people, well, there were some more, but really like Black Panther and Aurora Monroe Storm. They're both from Africa, you know, like they're not Americans.
Yeah.
So it's like. It, you know, but I mean, we have Luke Cage now and things like that, and but even then, it was like a stereotypical 70s black man, you know, from the U.S. So
yeah, I think it was a brilliant marketing ploy by Marvel, because you just think about like what sells now in the media, and it's like, you know, racism and, you know, what somebody's sexual orientation is. And that's, like, popular. That's, like, what's buzzing. Like, everywhere I go, I hear about, like, some sort of racism. Like, even, like, it floods into, like, my work. I have conversations with, like, I don't really participate in the conversations because I don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Right.
But it's, like, because I don't feel like work is a place that you discuss that kind of thing, because that's how people get fired and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's everywhere. It's, like, flooded every conversation. Some way racism comes up in some sort of way, or somebody's sexual orientation comes up in some way, and why not bring it into the comic book so they can help people understand?
And like, I think the point is, I mean, maybe it's not the point, but the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, we're all just people. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, maybe I don't know your struggle, but that doesn't mean you know my struggle. Like, just because, you know, you've been through this in your life, you know, you're a person, I'm a person, we've been through things. Just because we don't understand each other doesn't mean we're not the same.
So, where do you think Bobby Drake goes from here as a character? Do you think they play more on like his sexual orientation, or
I don't think it changes anything.
you like, literally just think it actually changes nothing,
right? I mean, he's still Bobby Drake. He's still Iceman. Like, just because he came out doesn't, you know, like, I think there's like this idea that once gay people come out, they act more gay around people, like because they're more comfortable now or whatever. But I don't think that's the case. Like, they're gonna act the way they've always acted. They're just not gonna be afraid anymore, you know, like. Now, I mean, it's going to be more interesting to see everybody else's reactions to it. You know, like how they accept him or how they deal with that.
Yeah.
Because that'll say a lot for those characters. To me, it says nothing about Bobby Drake besides, okay, now he's gay. But if you know, you have Storm or somebody acting like, oh, like weird around him now, like that says, you know, that changes my opinion of that character more than changes my opinion of Bobby Drake.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, like, really, like, looking for Bobby Drake as a character to change, per se. But, I mean, with this revelation, it's, like, how can you not be interested in to see, like, how other people react? Just how you were just saying, you know? And it is, you know, it is unfortunate, but, you know, not everybody's going to react so open-mindedly.
Right, and I'm sure they'll give him a boyfriend or something at some point, and, I'm sure it'll be a new character. I don't think they'll just be like, oh, now Nightcrawler's gay and they're dating or something, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be a little over, like, you know, if they just started, like, making all these characters, like, come out or whatever. And, you know, like, I think that'd be over the top. But I think what they're really trying to accomplish is, like, they're trying to break down, like, stereotypes. Really.
Yeah, and it's not like Marvel hasn't done this before. Like one of the things that really bothers me about the X-Men movies is that Mystique is always with these males. She's always pursuing Professor X or Magneto. But in the comic books, her biggest relationship ever was with a female. Like, that's something people forget, you know? But that was, like, her most important relationship, and that's, like, the one she was the most engaged in. But yeah. People ignore that, you know, because, yeah, she has a son that's Nightcrawler, and obviously she was with Azazel at some point. But, I mean...
But I think for a lot of people, seeing, like...
It's different between males and females.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Like, I feel like to the public, two, like, homosexual males is completely, like, outrageous to a lot of people compared to, like, two, like lesbianist females.
Well, I mean, that's something more about society, you know? Like
but that's the thing. I think that's what they're trying to include.
Right, know? Right. I mean, and it is, like, I mean, because I think that's the opinion most men have. Like, women don't have as big of a problem with either one, really, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know... Like, it's sad to say, but, like, the overall opinion is the man's opinion of it. You know, that's what society holds because, I mean, that's where we're still at in our society, unfortunately, you know?
Yeah, I mean, regardless, in our society, people are always going to be judgmental, and there's no way we're ever going to change that.
Right.
So, that's all we really have for the news this week, even though that was a lot of news.
That was a lot of news.
But it was a good time.
Yeah, definitely.
So, we're going to go on to our buy list.
Yeah, we have those every week.
You know, we do buy comics every now and then.
Yeah, we're cutting back a little bit.
We are, because
we have we have big boy expenses.
Yes.
So why don't you read your very small buy list, Scott?
Oh my god, I don't think it's been like this small of a buy list since I started reading. So all I have Convergence number 3, Invisible Republic number 2, Ninjak number 2, and Star Wars number 4.
Wow, half your books are indies. Interesting.
Yeah.
So I have Amazing Spider-Man 17.1, Inhuman Special number 1, Princess Leia number 1. That's the second printing of that.
Yeah.
Star Wars number 4, Wolverine's 15, Convergence number 3, Invisible Republic number 2, and God is Dead number 33. I also picked up the Crisis covers of the tie-ins. I'm going to stop doing that, but I'm going to be selling the ones I currently have, so if you want those, check out our Instagram when I post them.
Yeah, there was two books I think that were not on my buy list, but they're on the buy list for Metropolis, was Wolverine's 15 and... Empty.
Whatever
it's called. So I do want to talk about you just mentioned, you're like, wow, half of your comics are indies.
Yeah.
And that's something that like I've been really getting into, and that we're just talking about that because we us and some of our friends from Metropolis Comics, we just met up and we're at the pizzeria, and I, you know, we were drinking and eating pizza and everything.
You were drinking.
Yeah, I was drinking because my party sober brother over here doesn't drink, but that's okay.
That's all right.
I still love you.
I had to drive anyway.
Yeah.
Even if I didn't, I wouldn't have drank.
But, you know, we were just talking about how I've been really getting into indies, you know, through, like, Saga, The Woods, etc. Like, 13 Coins and whatnot. You know, it's easy to just like the superheroes that are already, like, you know, continuity that are already established. But I just feel like it's fun to read indies because you just get to get this whole different imagination from inside one person's head, you know?
Right. Like the way I think about it, it kind of is like, oh, you're, like, eating this great pizza. And, like, it's like the regular storylines you read. And you're just like, this pizza's great. You know, every week I get to immerse myself with this great pizza. And then indies are like... oh, I could get bacon on this pizza. It's a whole new world.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's awesome. Like, it's like with friends too. It's like when you're hanging out with the same old friends, it's awesome. Like, you're part of that world. But then when you get new friends, like, it's a whole new world that you get to be part of, you know? And like the Marvel universe is so big and expansive, and DC, it's all these big universes, and you know, it's great to come back every week and read those. But then once Saga comes out, you're like, this is a brand new world. This has nothing to do with anything, but it's amazing and it's great storytelling, and it's really driven by the writers. Like, that's the best part.
Yeah, what's so interesting to me, because like indies are not becoming indies anymore because more and more people are starting to read them. Like,
I mean,
I don't even know if you can really call them indies anymore.
Well, they're still independent because they're not, you know, like it's still creator controlled. Like,
yeah,
like whereas like Marvel, you have to do certain things under that story, or DC, you have to do certain things like in that world and to move that story forward. But indies, like, they're creator owned, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what's great.
I just like, because like you have like one or two writers and like maybe a couple artists, and you basically get this like five person collaboration to build this like expansive like fantasy world that's like never been done before, you know?
Right.
And it's like it's ever evolving, and it's like fuck, dude,
it's awesome.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
like this person is like, you get like to walk inside of a mind of like another person, really. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just special.
And, like, it's not always superheroes. Like, and it's always, like, when it is superheroes and stuff, it's, like, they come up with, like, these really interesting ways of, like, of what they can do or introducing them and things like that. It's really cool. So.
Yeah, I just thought it was, like, worth talking about. But it's time to get into our weekly segments. We're going to kick it off with Gotham.
We're going
to
kick it off with the Gothamsters.
The Gothamsters.
So.
It's a good one.
You're just gonna ruin it already.
Oh damn! Like that, man. That's how you feeling?
No. So this was episode 20. Real quick note: there's only two episodes left after this.
Hmm.
So This episode, the ogre targets someone close to Gordon. Bruce and Selena work together to expose a corrupt employee at Wayne Enterprises. Enigma defends Kristen Kringle. Okay, Enigma. We'll come back to that. So essentially Gordon is still investigating the ogre, and he pretty much calls him out, you know, like he's not afraid and blah, blah, blah. And he's going after Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And Barbara's kind of a sucker, but I don't know. Like, she's a much stronger character than I think we're giving her credit for so far. Like, I think she'll get through it.
Yeah, I think she's just, like, so heavily under the influence, like, she doesn't even know what's happening right now.
Like, she's just out of her mind.
Yeah, like, she's just, like, honestly having some, like a mental breakdown. Like, she's straight up, like, not even bothered by, like, what this dude is, like, into and shit. Like,
yeah. It's kind
of... Like, I was like, holy crap. Like, that was kind of a dark episode a little bit. Yeah. Well, like, as far as, like, Barbara's storyline was, like, darker.
Right. I mean, well, Enigma's storyline was darker.
Yeah, like, I mean, a lot of the storyline was just got a lot...
Yeah, like, and it's what we predicted, too. Like, we said earlier, like, by the end of this season, we'll start to see him become, like, the Riddler, you know? And he just straight up fucking killed a guy.
Yeah, just straight up fucking knifed him like 10 times. Yeah. That shit was crazy. I was like, what the
fuck? Yeah, it's crazy.
That's something you've never really seen in Gotham yet. And I was like, that was a nice addition.
That was a nice addition.
Yeah.
You also have the Selena and Bruce story that's kind of going on. And I kind of had like a little revelation this week.
Okay.
About that. So like, Bruce has been investigating Wayne Enterprises. And we kind of figured like, oh, now his point in this story will be like to clean up his own company. But... The thing, like, that kind of, like, made me think about it was, like, why do they care about his investigation? Like, sure, they don't want, you know, they want to still be doing what they're doing, right? But I think, like, they're just afraid of something that Bruce will find out. And I think, like, his company, Wayne Enterprises, had his parents killed.
Yeah.
So I think, like, that'll be the big kind of twist is, like, we've been talking about, oh, was it Joe Chill? Was it, you know, someone in the mob or something, you know? I think it's going to be Wayne Enterprises. So.
Yeah, that's a great prediction. I mean, you already know that Wayne Enterprises already has their hand dips into all these different, like, corrupt-ass, you know, business.
Yeah, and it makes total sense. Like, probably Thomas and Martha were trying to clean it up, and they were trying to, you know, do something. They were trying to get a hold of their company again, and they just had them killed.
Yeah, basically, I feel like there was, like, a faction within the company that was doing something that basically that they weren't supposed to, like the illegal deals and businesses that they were involved with. And then, like, you know, the Wayne family found out, yeah. And they were going to do something about it. And then before they could do anything, before it could be like brought to light, they were off.
And why are they so scared about Bruce investigating them? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's the big thing. Like, the law can't do anything no matter what to them unless they did something really, really wrong, like murder people.
Yeah.
So... That's my overall prediction, but, you know, the series is coming to a close, and the last two episodes have been great,
yeah.
But to me, it's too little too late almost, you know?
No, so, you know, like, there's a lot of things, you know, that have, like, either strong starts, weak finishes, or
right.
Weak starts, strong finishes. Like, they can finish up, because even in my opinion, like, the first half of, like, Blackest Night was, like, weak to me.
Right.
They finish strong, though.
Right. I mean, I feel like Gotham is going to finish strong. I feel like the next couple episodes are going to be good. But I don't feel like it makes up for the bad episodes of the season. And it's where they go from here that really will determine the tone of the show as we move on, you know?
I think ever since, like, we decided to stop looking at it as, like, trying to be more true to the comics and as its own continuity... And then once I kind of figured out like what the main purpose of this entire season was, like it like a lot of things started making sense to me, and I just feel like as a whole I've enjoyed these episodes a lot more.
I've enjoyed the past couple, but before that, like I still felt like they didn't really have a clue, and like I didn't like a lot of the episodes that.
I mean, they had a couple good ones, but like there was an overwhelming majority of them that were just not very good.
Yeah.
Poorly written. And
I feel
everything.
Like it didn't even start off bad. The show was fine at the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and then they had like a 3 or 4 bad episodes in a row, and then Penguin's Umbrella was fine, and then bad episodes until the season finale, and then it came back, and then they made us wait a month, and then I was like, all right, whatever. But the past two episodes have been really strong.
Yeah, like, so. uber strong. Just curious to see, like, what happens with Gordon and the ogre. Where it is, like, is Barbara going to kind of become, like, a villain or something?
I don't think so.
It's a little confusing. I mean, it's all just speculation, but, yeah. What a great episode, honestly.
I think Gordon's going to end up with Barbara again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So where does that leave him and what's her name, Leslie
Thompson? Well, right now they're them, but
you can obviously still tell that Gordon obviously is still in love with Barbara just by the way like he reacts to the situation.
Right,
he's like, holy crap! Like, I was with her when that article was written about me, like, and just like how he like deduced of like what he said. Well, he's a detective,
you know, like.
Yeah, but, like, that takes, like, pretty, like, I don't think I would ever realize something like that.
I think if you were in that circumstance, you would.
Maybe. I thought that was, like, a cool addition, how, like, he's like, oh, well, like, you know, it kind of, like, it dawned on him kind of deal.
Yeah.
You know what else I've noticed about this show is Harvey Bullock, he's kind of fallen to the wayside, you know?
Yeah, but, I mean, he's more of, like, to me, his entire role the past couple episodes have been, like, careful, Jim. You know, like, that's been, like, his kind of thing the whole season, but he's actually, like, gone along with some things, and now he's just, like, they haven't been working together. You haven't seen buddy cop stuff with them in the past, you know, little bit, which is fine, because Gordon's been strong, and, like, the overall stories of the episodes have been fine, you know?
Yeah. So. I just feel like I don't want to see him just become, like, a character hidden in the shadows and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I think they kind of use him as a plot tool to kind of, like, represent how Jim is cleaning up and, like, how much, like, he does influence people. Yeah. Like, his passion to clean up Gotham and everything is actually affecting somebody, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I think, I predict that they'll kill Leslie Thompson.
I could actually see that. Like that wouldn't surprise me.
Because her role is much different than in the comic books. Like, it's completely different. And it, to me, she's an expendable character at this point.
Yeah, she could be replaced. I don't know. Like, I mean, I think she was, like, in a couple storylines or something, or, like, one storyline. And if they never address that storyline, then it never matters.
Right, kind of deal. Right. I mean, and they won't.
Yeah, I doubt they will. If you had to rate this episode, what would it be?
I'd give this episode, like, a 9.4. Like, it was really strong, honestly.
So. It's hard to rate it. I'd give it a 9.4, and the thing is I would give it a higher grade, but there wasn't that, like, overwhelming wow factor. That's the only thing that was wrong with it. I think the writing was great, the acting was great, mm-hmm. but there wasn't that wow factor that pushes it up to, like, a 9.8, per se.
Right.
And I even think it would be fair to give it, like, a 9.6, maybe, but I'm just kind of weighing more towards 9.4.
Right. I mean, it was a good episode. Like, it was solid.
I thought it was a great episode and everything. It's just, maybe if they come in with that wow factor next week, maybe I could give it that 9.8.
I think the next couple weeks we'll have it. Maybe they'll do a two-parter, but I doubt it. I think they'll be 1 week at a time.
Yeah, I hope not. But it's interesting coming down to these last couple weeks in all of our shows.
Yeah. I mean, Flash has four more. Four, and then Arrow has four or five, three, I don't know.
Yeah.
Something. So.
Talking about the Flash.
Let's move on to the Flash. So this was episode 19 called Who is Harrison Welsh? Joe and Cisco visit Starling City and ask Captain Lance for help with their investigation into Dr. Wells. Laurel asks Cisco for a favor. Barry faces a new foe who can disguise himself into anyone he touches. Hashtag every man. Hashtag.
The fuck.
The fuck. So, do you want to talk about the weird part of this episode, or the good parts?
I think maybe we could just go by character breakdowns. I have a couple notes with me.
Okay.
So, I kind of just, like, talk about, like, Kaylin being in denial. It's, like, very annoying.
Yes. She has, like, this weird crush on Barry, I think.
Yeah.
And,
well,
like,
no, like, just beyond that, like...
She is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
she's just actually just retarded or something.
Yeah.
Like, well, just, like, I'm talking about, like, denial in, like, what Harrison Wells is.
Yeah.
You know, like, she's just, like, so, like, show me proof and blah, blah, blah. He could never do that.
It's fair. She's a scientist and, I mean, you need to see proof, and it takes more than Cisco saying he had a dream. I mean, that was enough for MLK, but...
Yeah, so this week was just kind of, you know, back and forth bantering with, like, Barry and Caitlin, just kind of, like, trying to go back and forth. Like, he's trying to convince her. Like, while that's happening, Joe West and Cisco leave town to go to...
Starling
City.
Yes. And Joe plays a very important role there. Trying to mend Laurel and Captain Lance's kind of...
like, broken bridge.
Broken, yeah. They also... Cisco's interactions with Laurel are terrific. I like Laurel better already, like, because of this. Like, her kind of stuff in Arrow is too, sometimes, you know? Like, the writing was much better for her. So, that was awesome. And he made her canary scream.
Yeah.
That was spectacular.
Yeah, dude, when Laura was asking him to make that, I got freaking stoked. I was like, holy shit, like, that's gonna happen. And then, like, the interaction, like, Cisco's, like, mad crush on Laurel. Like, I mean, who could blame him, though? Like,
right.
She's a looker.
She's a looker. We're gonna meet her at, Wizard World.
Oh, dear God. If I faint, guys, Christian will get it on camera, so don't worry.
Yes. We'll be everywhere.
Yes.
In the tabloids.
In the tabloids.
We're celebrities.
Of Gotham.
Of Batman.
But you know what's, like, interesting, though, is I feel that, like, Joe West has, like, a strong similarity between, he plays, like, almost kind of, like, the same role as, like, John Diggle plays in Arrow.
Kinda.
He's, like, the voice of reason, and, like, his interactions, like, he's a funny character at times, but, like, when he has, like, his serious nature, like,
he's so insightful, though. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, that's, I feel like they're the same exact role, just in, like...
And that's something, like, you know, he's never going to be as smart as Barry, but he's way more grounded, you know? Like, he understands life. He's not naive like Barry is.
Yeah, and just, like, his conversation with Captain Lance, mm-hmm. like, that was pretty moving, and, like, you kind of see, like, Joe West kind of influence him in mm-hmm. a way.
Yeah.
Like, he's, like, kind of considering it. Like, I don't know if it's going to happen this season, but I think it will happen next, like, beginning of next season at least.
I think they'll mend before the end of the season, honestly. I think so. All right. But, yeah, so Hannibal Bates, Everyman, was in this episode. Mm-hmm. Apparently, people are just morons.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, all right, so he frames Eddie pretty much. And then Barry tries to break Eddie out, and Eddie's like, no, we'll do it the fair way. Barry goes home, and then the very next second, Eddie's at his house. Like, Barry's a freaking genius, you know?
There's, like, a super, like, I think you had even mentioned it. Like, that's, like, a plot hole.
That is a plot hole. Like, by the end of the season, I think Star Labs will have nothing to do with Barry Allen. I mean, I think Caitlin will be on her way to being Killer Frost, and Cisco will be dead by the next season.
That's a possibility, but I think Cisco is going to become Vibe.
Yes, you had mentioned that.
Yeah, you see, like, the Vibe or mask or goggles, whatever you would like to call it. Like, you see it in the rest of this season kind of trailer that they had, like, during their break. You see him wearing those goggles, and I was like, holy fuck, he's going to become Vibe. Cool. Sweet.
See, I'm just not of that opinion. I don't know what would drive him to be Vibe.
I don't know. Maybe it's, like, some sort of accident.
It could be, but I don't see it.
But anyways.
Yep. Anyway.
There was, like, an inconsistency that you had mentioned, but I seen it, like, in a different way. Not only is, like, you know, Barry Allen just, like, retarded in a way. Like, he's just, like, super dumbfounded for one. Like, but here's the inconsistency I seen. I was like, how the fuck did he know where Barry Allen lives? And why did he even go there?
Also, the other thing is, all right, this is the other major pothole is, like, when Iris is like, oh, I'll take him. Like, why wouldn't they just let the cops take him? Like, obviously you have this super dangerous metahuman. You're just going to put him in the back of your car. That is a huge plot hole. And, like, Caitlin's like, I'll go with you. It's like, either keep him at Star Labs. Like, don't just let a random girl take a metahuman, you know?
Yeah, I seen that as a plot hole. But then you also think about it in the sense that it's like, they can't reveal that they're keeping metahumans to her.
Right.
Because she has no idea that they're...
But Wells was like, oh, we'll keep him here.
Yeah, like, I think he meant, like, in the sense of, like, we'll detain him here.
Right.
But then, like, you know,
But here's the thing is, like, why wouldn't you just call the cops? Like, oh, yeah, we got the guy that we can free Eddie with, like, the proof right here in front of us. And instead, she's like, oh, I'll drive him. Like, that to me is not a smart choice at all. Like, it had to happen for the story to make, to move forward, but it's a plot hole, you know?
Yeah,
It doesn't make up for bad writing.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, talk about, like, but I want to go back to the point, it's like, how did every man know where Barry lives, first off?
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck did he know that? There was no, like, scene where, like, he, like, somehow maybe got, what's his name's Walt or something, and, like,
right.
Or, like, even then, like, how does he know where fucking Barry lives?
He continuously talks about how much he doesn't know about this person's life, you know?
Yeah, exactly, and it's like, not this, that, but, like, what was his purpose to go there?
Right.
Like, yeah. Honestly, like, I mean, sure, it was, like, a stepping stone for him to gain, like, the appearance of Barry.
Uh-huh.
And then that's another plot hole.
Yeah, when Barry's fighting him at the end and he, like, turns into Iris, like, he knows it's the fucking Everyman. Why are you resisting?
Yeah, well, not even just that. Like, when he turns into Barry, he fucking, like, has a flash suit on. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. Didn't
well,
but that was dumb. Like, so apparently Everyman, like, copies their exact appearance at that moment. But then why does he still have the same exact appearance of Iris from when he copied her? And why does he have the same appearance of Kaylin and,
Eddie,
you know, it's like...
And here's the other thing. If you know that the Flash is after you, why don't you just leave town at that point? Like, he's not Captain Cold. It's not like, this is my shitty, you know? Like, why wouldn't you just leave town?
Yeah, it made no sense at all, like...
I mean, it's very surprising, like...
Because this episode was very uncharacteristic of the writers of the Flash.
Yeah, I mean, like... Freaking when Kaylin found Barry in the closet and like slapped him to wake him up, you know, he's like, for real? Like, that stuff is, like, good, you know, but there's so many bad parts that just, like, it's just bad writing. Like, the Starling City stuff was great. All that stuff. I love that.
I even like the interaction when, like, the Everyman was kissing Kaylin. Yeah. I even like that. A lot of people are like, oh, well, they're gonna try to make her a love interest. Like, no, dude. Like, I don't give a fuck who you are. Like, if a good-looking guy like Barry, like, tries to kiss a woman, like, she ain't gonna resist for long.
Right.
You know, like, she might be like, what are you doing? And then he, like, does it again. You know, like, when she never actually, like, pushed him away and slapped him the first time, it's like, okay, obviously she liked it, you know?
Yeah, and she's a conflicted character to begin exactly. with. Exactly. I mean, it is what it is. But, yeah, we know she's gonna be Killer Frost anyway, so.
So, what would you rate this episode?
I just give it, like, an 8.5. Like, the holes were big, but, like, the Starling stuff was great, and it's awesome to have the Canary Cry kind of thing in there, and I mean, it's better than Arrow.
Yeah, like, I gotta give it a pretty low grade. This is, like, the lowest I've ever gone on this show. It's, like, very surprising. I have, like, written down 8.2, but it's just, like, the plot holes were so big, and the good parts were good, don't get me wrong, and a lot, there were good parts, but I think the plot holes were so major to me that I'm gonna give this show an 8.0 this week.
That's fine. I mean, that's fair. It is what it is, but, I mean, the show can't have all these amazing things every week, you know, and when it's coming down to the end, and I think we're in for a wild ride.
Yeah, so. I definitely think, don't get me wrong, it was a good episode, it was enjoyable to watch, but it was their weakest episode ever.
Yeah, it was a very weak episode, so.
But then you also have, see, like, this is, like, the parts that make me conflicted was, like, Starling City, you know, the Canary Cry, and then at the end when they find, like, Wells' secret room. Yeah, that was made. Yeah. That was, like, fuck, dude. I was like,
oh, yeah, that was,
like,
crazy.
I was like, man. I was like, I think without that scene, and maybe without the Canary Cry, like, I probably would even give this episode a lower grade.
Yeah, that scene at the end
It made it up. Their good parts make up for their bad parts, which is just a great thing to watch.
Yeah.
I don't know. Step up your game, I guess.
They will. Yeah. I have no doubt. Yeah. I haven't lost any confidence in this show.
Yeah, I know. No doubt. Like, I still mean, fucking love this show.
It could have just been a bad writer, honestly.
Yeah. They had an off week. It's whatever. You know, maybe they got too drunk the night before.
Or something.
Yeah, or something.
Or something.
So, on to Arrow.
Should we do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. first?
All right.
Or we can do Arrow. I mean, it doesn't matter. What do you want to do first? Arrow? Let's do Arrow.
Sure.
That's a thing. We'll just talk about that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So this was Arrow episode 20, right?
Something like that.
Something like that. It was called The Fallen. Sorry. Ra's al Ghul finally makes Oliver an offer he can't refuse. The team joins Oliver on his journey to Nando Parbat, where a heartbroken Felicity decides to take matters into her own hands. Wow.
Shake my head, guys.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing right now.
So, of course...
Fucking awful.
So... Felicity ruined this entire episode.
It could have been great.
It could have been great. Like, a lot of the other elements of this episode were good. Like Oliver talking to Diggle at the end, like, that made me cry almost. That was great.
I feel like you're crying a lot.
I cry a lot. I'm a sensitive man.
He's a big old teddy bear.
But, Jesus Christ, Felicity, like... From you thinking you can save Oliver to you trying to get him out of this, like, don't you? How dumb are you? Like, you know they're gonna come after you, right?
Like straight up, like, fucking for reals, dude. She fucking pissed me off so much. All right, let me get to my biggest pet peeve of this episode. Was she straight up like broke into like Ra's al Ghul's like I don't know chamber, I guess, or like main hall of like the league,
like,
and like she's like demanding an audience like with him, and I was like. Who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck do you think you are?
Like, why do you not just kill her on the spot?
I wouldn't have... Like, I thought he was going to kill her. I was like, oh, they're going to make us feel bad for Felicity, and then they're going to kill her. Now, I really did not care. I was like, I fucking hope that he stabs her right in the fucking eye. Like, I could not stand her in this episode. And, like, her voice was annoying when she's like, this is just wrong. I was like, shut the fuck up. I tweeted that immediately. I was like, shut the fuck up, Felicity, you know? And, like, I actually talked to some girl on Twitter about it, and, you know, like, it is the writing, but her acting is not great either on that stuff.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the time she's overacting, for sure.
Also, stop trying to ship Oliver and Felicity, all right? Like, poor fucking Ray, dude.
I feel bad for that guy.
Yeah, like, he has every motivation to become a villain.
Like, he should just straight up fucking full on just be an Iron Man and kill fucking Felicity.
Or just get back together with her and break her heart.
Yes.
That'd be something Iron
By
Man
killing
would do.
Her.
Literally rip her heart out.
Yes.
He'd call Harrison Wells, hey, can you do your little thing, you know?
Can you just like, nah,
and then put it in a jar for me?
So I can just like look at it every day.
And smile. No, I mean, it sounds messed up, but like, I don't feel bad for Felicity. I don't like where her character is now. Like, I ship Ollie and Laurel all day, you know, like, that's what it should be. It should be Canary and Oliver, you know?
Yeah, and also, like, okay, so there's things I liked about Felicity this episode, though, like, even as, like, minor as it seems, it's, like, her wardrobe. Like, for one, she didn't, like, look like, she was, like, super overdressed. Mm-hmm. You ever notice that? Like,
yeah, sometimes.
She's, like, always wearing these, like, super tight-ass dresses that, like, show her fucking fat ass. Like, sorry, but it's true. Like, I mean, she has one.
I liked her conversation with
Not
Oliver.
Not in a bad way, though.
I liked her conversation with Oliver on the plane.
Yeah,
but
that was nice.
That was, like, the only thing, like, I didn't like... Like, I don't mind that they slept together, but, I mean, like, it
they could have showed more.
Like, it bugs me that, like, to me, Oliver Queen is, in the comic books... He doesn't get connected to females through sex. That's not, like, his way. Like, sex honestly means nothing to him. Because he can get it from anybody. Let's be real. Like,
have you seen Stephen Amell?
Yeah. And
the guy is, like...
In Oliver Queen in the comic books, like, he has a... Obviously, he has a kid with someone else. And he just sleeps with everybody.
So, other than just Felicity being pretty annoying... there were some important things that happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Like Oliver accepting the mantle as
Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah,
and waiting.
Yeah, that is super important. And obviously, I think it's going to lead to more. You know, like they had already mentioned, like Malcolm mentioned earlier in the season, like, you know, you have to learn from someone in the league to beat Ra's al Ghul, you know?
Yeah.
And that. That, I think, maybe was just a throwaway line, but it's going to be important, I think.
Yeah.
I think Oliver's just going to learn, and he's going to betray him, and then he's going to probably dismantle the league or something. But I think he honestly does, at his core belief, he could do more good as the leader of the league than he could just as the Arrow.
Yeah. I mean, I said that earlier when, like, the whole possibility of him becoming heir to the demon, you know?
Right. Yeah, so, I mean...
So, there's been, like, a lot of talk just, like, over this whole season, or, like, over this whole show about, you know, like, the Arrow is a little bit too dark or conflicted as a character that, like, in the comic books, he's, like, way more lighthearted and whatnot. He cracks jokes and things. And I shot that shit down, like, straight up. I felt that, like, so we had, like, attempted to podcast with one of our friends over at Assistance in Metropolis, Ethan. But due to his own time constraints, we just decided to redo our own.
Right.
But, like, I was talking about on there how you really think about his origin story and how they set it up. Like, how on the earth could he be, like, lighthearted? Like, 5 years, like, trapped away from being home with his friends and family, like, his loved ones. Like, how could he be lighthearted? How could he be this, like, jokester, you know?
Well, it is a lot... You know, like, it's similar to the comic books. He was trapped on an island for 5 years and things like that. But in the comic books, it was different. He came back, and he was more lighthearted initially. But he was just happy to be home. He was a bored, rich guy, and he was just going out, trying to do whatever he could and just having a good time until he did kill somebody. And if you read, like, Sierra mentioned Mike Grell's 80s run and how much material was there. But that's darker material. That's not lighthearted Green Arrow. Like, that is... dark material in his run.
Yeah.
It's not like happy-go-lucky Oliver Queen, you know, like
you just think about it though, like he straight up like you know, like he lost his father. He thought he lost what's her name for like the longest time.
Thea?
What is her name?
The original Shadow? Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah. You know, in the original records. Then he falls in love with the girl. Becomes best friends with Slade, loses Shadow, like she dies. He loses Slade, he becomes a different person now, like they're like feuding. He actually ends up thinking that he kills like one of his best friends, like his mentor died, like all this.
His best friend,
like
died.
He was tortured. Like, how on fucking earth, in your goddamn right mind, do you think it's okay for him to be a lighthearted person?
Right.
If I went through that shit, bet your fucking goddamn ass I'd be fucked up in my head, dude.
I'd make everybody feel bad for me.
Like, straight up, like, I think people have this unrealistic image of, like, what comic book heroes should be. And then, like, when it translates onto, like, TV or the movie screen, like, they think it should be following to T. If you guys want the original story, go fucking read the comics again. That's not what the fucking TV show's for.
Yeah, the comics aren't going anywhere, you know?
Like, straight up.
But if you really think about it, Batman's entire darkness comes from his parents being killed. Like, and what Oliver Queen has gone through is much worse than that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he has more of a right to be dark than Batman.
Exactly. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
What would you rate this episode, though?
The strong parts were strong. The bad parts were awful. I guess I'd give it an 8.5.
I'd agree. The only thing that really just messed it up for me was Felicity. There were no, like, real, like, plot holes in my opinion. Not that I noticed, at least. The other material was good.
Malcolm was great.
Malcolm was.
You really see that
very
he does
strong character.
Care about Thea at a core level. Like, it's not. He wasn't just using her, as we kind of thought before. And the actor, John Barrowman, was amazing in this episode. He's great. He was great in Torchwood as well and things like that. But, you know, just proved himself again. For someone who isn't given much to do in this show, he killed it, you know? So.
He definitely makes the most out of his small opportunities.
Minus points again to Felicity for making it seem like fucking Oliver died at the end when she was talking to Laurel.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, he's gone. He's gone for good. Shut up.
She should have just got punched in the face.
Kicked in the face.
Yeah.
In the eye hole.
To Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now.
Yeah. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is a show. So this was episode 18 of season 2, Frenemy of My Enemy. Coulson and Hunter form a dangerous alliance as they turn to someone unexpected for help. Lincoln and Skye are drawn into a conflict. So those stories kind of interact. Yes, who is this dangerous foe ally?
Hey.
That the Coulson and Hunter team up with.
Oh, yes.
Agent Wardy Ward.
Oh, yes. And Senior Ward.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. Like,
that was a good episode to me. I don't know. Yeah. Like,
whatever. I mean, I guess you got to... I think the part I like the most about this episode is, like, you get to know Skye's father a lot better. Like, what he was like before, like, all this shit went down. Like, it makes you kind of connect with him at his, like, core level as a human being.
Yeah, and, Lincoln got captured.
That he did.
By Hydra, right?
That he did, donkey.
That he did. And Coulson waited, for S.H.I.E.L.D. to catch him.
Yes.
Yes.
All part of his ploy.
All part of his plan.
Catch me.
Yeah, I think him and Gonzalez are going to work together.
There really wasn't much that happened in this
episode. Yeah, I mean, they're building up for bigger things.
I mean, there was some groundwork. But my honest opinion is this is a waste of an episode.
Well, I don't think so. I feel like they did some necessary things. I just think what they did in this episode might be relevant down the line.
I feel like the only thing there's like two relevant things in my opinion. Like Coulson got captured on purpose, and they're kind of on to Reader's teleporting ability.
Yes,
They're able to like track it like when he appears. Mm-hmm. Like other than that, like literally their whole point of Skye going with their father was so he can stay they're kicking him out, they're gonna keep him out. He is now back with them. They risk exposure. Didn't they catch what's his name though? The guy with the lightning hands?
Lincoln.
Oh yeah, that's Lincoln. I didn't even know that's his name. Yeah. Like I mean
I feel like
they literally could have done without this episode.
They did what they needed to do, but they took too much time doing it.
Yeah. They literally took an entire episode to say, hey, look, we're teleported. Hey, look, we teleported back. But this time, we got somebody captured.
But I mean, overall, I enjoyed the episode. I mean, there's not too much to talk about in this episode, but we'll just, you know, we'll move on to grading, I guess.
Yeah. There really, honestly, guys, there really wasn't much to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, Coulson teams up with Ward.
But guess what, guys? We're going to have an episode this week, then Avengers, and then an episode next week. So we'll see how Avengers ties into that.
Could be interesting.
It could be cool.
Could be awesome.
So,
What
if Reader just shows up?
That'd be dope. 8.6.
Yeah, 8.5 for me. It's good. Not amazing.
Is 8.6 even a real rating?
Yeah, you can be.
All right, good. Sure.
Yeah, all that's right, fair. So... we're not going to do a Game of Thrones podcast this week. We're going to do episodes 2 and 3 next week.
Yeah.
And we're not going to do a Daredevil podcast this week. We're going to save that also for next week. We just had a lot of stuff going on this weekend. We had a concert. We had lots of magic playtesting.
Yeah. A lot of angriness for me.
A little get together with some of our friends from Metropolis Comics tonight.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Shout out to Chris. He's a great guy. He's always nice to us, invites us places.
Yes.
Shane, we love you. You're our buddy. Ryan and Ethan, sorry about our other podcast.
yeah.
But
It is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah. So
well, we might post the original podcast attempt just so you guys can hear some of Ethan's thoughts.
Yeah, on he did some have some great thoughts on the Joker picture, Batman vs. Superman, and this week's Arrow. That's pretty much all we talked about with him. We did some other news and stuff, but, you know, for us it wasn't strong enough to release by itself. And we had to stop because he had his own time constraints. Unfortunately, he had to help a friend with something. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of lost traction, so we just decided to redo it. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and we love Ethan and Ryan. They're our friends.
And apparently, Ryan really likes turtles.
He likes turtles. So I've been saying like this because I feel like when things get intense in our chat, you just have to say I like turtles. So it just calms it down or something, you know? It's a peace.
Maybe that's our group's safe word.
Yeah, that's a safe word
or safe phrase.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. So yeah. So I mean, feel free to tell us what you liked about our podcast this week, what you didn't like. And here's a question for y'alls. We're going to talk about this real quick. I just want to talk about it.
Yes.
So let's play a game of what if.
Ooh, what ifs. I like what ifs.
So what would happen if Lex Luthor got the Infinity Gauntlet?
Who asked us that?
I did. I came up with that.
Man. Life is over.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. So, like, one of the cool things, like, something interesting about Lex Luthor is like, kind of the fact that he envies Superman, you know? And he doesn't just want to be Superman. He also wants to, you know, he just wants to be admired and loved and things like that. But he has daddy issues.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? He just, like, used the reality gem to make a reality where he's Superman?
I think so.
And, like,
I think
where he, like, had the perfect childhood kind of thing. And, like, I feel like it would be, like, the perfect alternate universe, like, where we just see, like, kind of role reversal in a way. But, you know, like, what would Superman be in that world? Would he be friends with Lex Luthor? Like, maybe. Would they be best friends still? Like just superheroing around together?
That is a strong, strong possibility, friend. I mean, I think if he honestly just got a hold of the Infinity Gauntlet, it's just over. Everything just ceases to exist.
You think he just destroy, like, the world?
Yeah.
Like, because Thanos, when he got the Infinity Gauntlet, he was just trying to impress death by killing people.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'd be the same thing. I think the reality gem would be the most important one for Lex Luthor. Because I don't think he can accept reality the way it is.
Yeah, he would just bend it to his own reality, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what more to say to that question, but... Yeah,
but you guys let us know.
Yeah, let us know. You can always reach us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Nerdy Boys Reviews, mm-hmm. On our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com, under the forum tab. You can find there, start a new thread, whatever you guys would like to do. We also did have a question from none other than Jeff Long. Thanks again, buddy.
Yeah. And he also brought us back stuff from Star Wars Celebration that we haven't got yet, but wow, thanks a whole lot, dude. Like, that means a lot to me. Like, that is awesome. Like, that you actually were, like, thinking about us in that way. I'm tearing up a little bit right now.
Yeah, thanks, bud. So his question was, if you had to live the rest of your life on an island with only one fast food joint, what would it be?
Fuck.
Fuck.
I would say Subway, because it would kill me the slowest.
I was honestly thinking the same thing, because Subway is just my favorite place to eat.
Well, it's not my favorite place to eat, but, like, I feel like if I could only eat McDonald's, I would die in, like, 45 days.
Probably.
But.
Yeah, Subway is just my favorite. There's, like, the most variety there, I think.
But McDonald's has the best breakfast.
Yeah, it's a hard choice. But,
I mean, if you had to eat something all day, every day, I mean.
Might as well just eat Subway.
Yeah, because
I haven't thought about, like, In-N-Out, too. That'd be nice.
Do I have power to toast my sandwich?
That's a good question.
Like, I don't know.
I guess that's the question to you, Jeff Long. If we do have Subway, can we toast a sandwich?
And if we have, like, McDonald's, like, do we have to eat, like, raw food? Like, do they have power to cook their food?
And if we eat at these fast food places, do we get access to their whole menu or just, like, two items at most?
And would I have a car to go through the drive-thru?
Yes, I think that's a possibility.
And do I get to eat for free? That's a big one.
So, those are our questions in response to your question, Jeff Long. Yeah. You let us know on Twitter, buddy.
Yeah, this is all falling apart. do we have anything else to talk about?
I don't think so. I think that was our only question. Sorry if we missed any questions.
Yeah. And please let us know. We do want to talk about comic books more. If you want to hear us talk about, like, saga reviews or... I know you're reading The Woods, and I'll probably start reading that. And we got lots of more indies and shit. Why are you being a bulldog again?
Sorry, guys.
It's all right. It's all right. So, yeah, check back next week. We'll have episodes 2 and 3 of Game of Thrones up next week. We're not doing it this week. Also, Daredevil next week. Not this week. This week, this is our only episode. So, rate us, call us, whatever. We're not going to give you our phone number, so don't call us.
That'd be awkward.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's going to wrap us up. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And this was Nerdy Boys Reviews.
Stay nerdy, boys!